Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is the first Sunday, and on first Sunday we have Pastor Cleo Fitzmalone Jr. with us today. He's starting a series called A Divinely Aligned Thought Life. Amen. We are excited about the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Malone, are you with us today? Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, my friend. I'm doing well, my brother. I'm doing well. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to turn everything over to him, and he's going to do what thus says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Once again, this is Kingdom Principles, Pastor Cleo Fitzmalone Jr., A Divine Aligned Thought Life. Praise the Lord. You can take over, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Ray. Good evening, everyone. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, just giving thanks unto you, thanking you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, O Lord. Thanking you for the word that you've given unto me to share with your people, Father. Now, Lord, I decrease so that the greater one in me may increase. And I covenant with you now, Father, that I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that is revealed and everything that is accomplished in this evening's lesson, Father. And Lord, I thank you that I will speak your word as an oracle of Christ and not just as a man. Hide me behind your glorious cross, allowing no flesh to glory in your sight, Father. And for this, we do give you all praise, glory, and honor. And it's in the name that's above every name, the name Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we serve and whom we love. Thank God and amen, amen, and amen. Good evening, everyone, and I hope you can hear me okay. As Reverend Ray said, we're starting a series over the next 3 months, the Divinely Aligned Thought Life. In my estimation, in my opinion, this is probably one of the most profound and one of the greatest lessons that I will teach. Quite frankly, I believe that after the one is after salvation, after one is born again, that the two greatest events that come after that is faith, the building and development of your faith, and then the renewal of the mind. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about renewing our mind in Christ. Developing this thought life that aligns with the Word of God and with the will of God for our lives. I've learned over time that, my thoughts can lead me to sin or they can lead me to righteousness. My thoughts, your thoughts, can lead you to sin or they can lead you to righteousness. And it's like an open book test, kind of like, what God said in Deuteronomy 13 and 19. I call you to record today. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he told you what to choose. Choose life that it might be well not only with you, but with your seed. So this thought life, and when you think about thoughts, there's nothing that you and I see in this three-dimensional world, this physical world that we walk around in. There's absolutely nothing that we see that was not a thought first. You know, I started this year off, we talked about, you know, the power of words. We talked about developing a word cultured life. And I inquired of God, you would think that if we know that our thoughts produce our words and our words will produce our actions, the question is, why start on words and not on thoughts? And the Spirit of God showed me that how important it was for us to understand how powerful our words are. And now that we've established who we are and whose we are based on the scripture, you know, that we were created in his image and after his likeness, then, yes, words came first, but our thoughts are what produce our words. Our thoughts are what produce our actions. Our thoughts are what produce our behavior. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And we understand as believers that our heart is the core of our understanding. It is the birthplace of all of our increase or our decrease. If one can change their thinking, how their thought process is, they can change their life, good or bad. You know, if you're constantly have negative thoughts, your negative thoughts will produce negative results. Very rarely do negative thoughts produce positive results. If you have positive thoughts, your positive thoughts will produce positive results. I was doing a little study, and there's no exact number, but I read where most people have anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Let me say that again. Most people have anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. That's the news. That's the research. And as I studied a little further, something astonishing came out of that. It said that out of those 6,000 or 70,000 thoughts a day, 95% of those thoughts are the same. You're thinking this. We're thinking the same thoughts over and over again. And think about it. If your thought pattern is negative, then constantly you are thinking of negative thoughts. They're being repetitive. And then we look at our lives and we wonder, why are these things happening in our lives? And it's being produced out of our thoughts, which produce our actions. I was reading something else, and I read this quote from Tom Rowland, who's an author. He said, thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And character becomes your destiny. Thoughts become your words. What you're thinking about the most becomes your words. Your words become your action. You're thinking of something, now you're starting to say those things out of your mouth that you're thinking, negative or positive. Now your actions become your habits. Now it becomes repetitive. Now what you're doing is it's becoming second nature. It's becoming your habit. Someone says something to you, a negative thinker, immediately thinks something negative, or says something has a negative response. Or always, as quote unquote, playing devil's advocate. And then your habits become your character. If you want to check your character, check about what you're thinking all the time. Think about the things that dominate your thought life. You know, you're thinking about how am I going to take care of this bill, or how am I going to take care of this? And you're meditating on the wrong thing. You're meditating on what you see and what's in front of you when the scripture is telling us to meditate on the word of God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 in the New Living Translation says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all things. And again, your heart is the core of your understanding, your thought life, how you think. I said that everything that we see in this three-dimensional world began with a thought. The house you live in, the apartment you live in, the building you work in, your car, all of these things, before they ever were produced on the scene, in the scene arena, they were in the invisible arena first. Someone had to think about it. Then someone had to put an action to it for this thing to manifest on the scene arena. And that's the way it works. If I'm challenged in my health, in my body, I don't go around talking about that I'm sick, that I have this or that I have that. I turn around and I meditate on the word, and I start to say what the word says. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Were is past tense. It's already happened. Now what I want is for what's in the invisible to show up in the visible. That's why I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. So I'm renewing my mind. I'm changing my thought life. I'm taking the mind of Christ, and I'm applying it to my life. If I can change my thinking, I can change my life, good or bad. The thing that you focus on will expand. The thing that you focus on will expand. Watch this. The heart is the source of a person's thoughts, emotions, and actions. These things determine the course of your life. That's how powerful our thoughts are. The heart, again, the core of our understanding, is the source of a person's thoughts, emotions, and actions. These things determine the course of your life. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's get into this. Let's get into how our thoughts. I was listening to the late Dr. Miles Monroe some years ago, and very, very powerful man of God. Some would even say a journal in the body of Christ. And he talked about how destitute and poor his family was when he was a young child growing up in the Bahamas. And he talks about, you know, being born again at a very early age. And he said one day he was laying, and he was looking up at the sky, laying down on the ground, looking up at the sky. And he asked God, he said, why are we so poor? And he said the Spirit of God spoke to him and told him that it was because of their thinking. Well, what shapes our thinking? What shapes our thinking? Our environment, who we listen to, who we hear from, who we put weight upon what they're saying, the influencers in our lives. That's what shapes our thinking. Very few thoughts that we have are original. They usually come from somebody else. We go to school to be taught, and we're taught from elementary school all the way through our senior in high school. And then if you go on to college, someone else is teaching you something that you don't know. And now your thoughts are being formulated, or your thoughts are being formulated and your opinions are being formulated based on someone else's teachings. And that's why it's so important as believers that we get around men and women of God that are teaching the Bible. because there's so many things, there's so many things that's being taught, so many theologies and so many opinions and so many doctrines are being taught that do not align with the Word of God at all. You know, like I've heard it said from pastors and teachers that are in the pulpit, you know, this statement that he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. And you can't find that nowhere in Scripture. It's not in the Scripture. It does not exist. Because somebody's not telling the truth. Quite frankly, somebody's telling a lie. And the Bible says that let God be true and let every man be a liar. So where are they getting that from? God won't put on you more than you can bear. You can't find that in Scripture. Watch this. The Bible tells me that God said he would never leave me nor forsake me, that he would be with me always, even until the end of time. So if he said that, then where did they get, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. He may not come when you want him, connotes or denotes that he ain't there. And the Scripture tells me that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere all at once. As a matter of fact, before we go to John 10, now that I'm on it, let's go to John 14 and 23. Let's look at 14 and 23, and let's look what Jesus said about that very thing. John 14 and 23, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, says this, and Jesus answered, "If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word," which is teaching, "and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him." What did I just say? It says, we will come to him and make our dwelling place. That means they're going to come up and take up residence in you and I, the ones who love him and obey his word, keep his word, keep his teaching, keep his principles. And so someone else is telling you something false, that he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. When the word says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where did it come from? Another scripture. Another saying. God won't put on you more than you can bear. You can't find that in Scripture anywhere. It doesn't exist at all. As a matter of fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and see, I'm a teacher of the word. I'm not going to tell you something that I don't have Scripture to back up. And I can give you more than one Scripture to back up what I'm saying. See, I'm going to go to the word, and what does the word say about this situation, and not what man says. I'm not throwing shade on no man, no preacher, no pastor, no one that's teaching the gospel. But the Bible says in these last days, they're going to be false prophets, meaning they're going to be people teaching doctrines that do not line up with the word of God. And all of these things that we're intaking are formulating our thoughts. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So now if this is what they're saying, now this is what I'm saying. Oh, he may not come when I want him, but he's always right on time. And now it's giving me a false thought of, I got to go beg God to show up in my life when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm always there. And here's what it says here about that, where he won't put more on you than you can bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, that you may be able to bear it. He's going to give you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's not putting this on you. Matter of fact, it says it's what he won't allow this. If it's he won't allow it. So someone else is trying to put this temptation on you. Someone else is trying to put this burden on you, not God. Okay. All right, preacher. You say that. All right. So how can you say that? All right, let me take you somewhere else. In the book of James, it talks about let no one say that God has tempted man. Why? Because God can't be tempted with evil. God can't be tempted with evil. So if God can't be tempted with evil, then God ain't putting this on you. God's not putting this on you. So let's discover who is. Again, this is a teaching ministry. And if we want to be equipped to be able to handle life godly in the way that God has created for us to handle it, so that we can be victorious the way he's designed it for us to be, then we got to know the word. That's why I love the book of Acts. I believe it's chapter 17, where it talks about the church at Berea was more noble than the church at Thessalonica. Why? Because they heard the word, the Bible says, with all readiness of heart. They sat down and they let the man of God or the woman of God teach the word. And then they went home, they closed their door, and they opened up the Bible to make sure that what him or her said was in the book. They didn't stand there and cast judgment on them. They didn't, oh, you're wrong, preacher, teacher, you're wrong. No, they listened to what they had to say. And then they went home and they opened the Bible and they looked in it to make sure that what that man or woman said was in the book. And too often, that's what we're failing at. We're taking everyone else's opinions. We're taking everyone else's teachings or doctrines, and now we're making it ours, and we've done absolutely no research to make sure that this aligns with the Word of God. That's why this thought life is so important. Because I want the mind of Christ functioning in me through the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because now, if I have that, I can win in every situation. Why? Because I've been built for victory. I was created in his image and after his likeness, therefore I was built. I wasn't built for failure. John chapter 10. Let's look at who our adversary is. Let's look at who's putting these things on us. And sometimes it's not the devil putting these things, it's us. Because of unbelief, because of disobedience. You know, Moses, some of the plagues, or spoke some of the plagues over Egypt. And then there was others that Pharaoh spoke over Egypt. See, there's some things that Satan is putting on you, but then there's other things that you're putting on yourself out of your own mouth. You're cursing your own self. John 10, verse number 10 says this. Says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The devil wants to control your thought life by planting thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that don't align with the will of God. The devil, Satan, wants to control your thought life. Why? How? By planting thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that don't align with what the will of God is for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, thus saith the Lord, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. See, God has an expected end for you and I. He's already thought this thing through. He's already been to the end of our lives, you know, because if Isaiah 46:10 says declaring the end from the beginning. He's already been to the end of our lives. And he backed up, put us on our way, and he already has it mapped out for our success. But we're free moral agents, meaning we have a will of our own. We have thoughts of our own. And we start, we get into this world system, and we start to see things, and those things become more believable and more real than what's in the invisible. And dear heart, I'm telling you, what's in the invisible is more real and more palatable for our lives than what we can see in this three-dimensional world. See, we're chasing after stuff, and God created us so that stuff would chase after us. That's why he says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we're chasing after stuff, and the stuff's supposed to be chasing after us. Watch this. What is Satan trying to steal? He's trying to steal your God-promised inheritance, salvation, your eternal promise. He doesn't want you to have that. Why? Because he wants you in the pit of hell with him. You know, misery loves company. So if I can control your thought life, if I can control how you think, if I can control how you think, now guess what? Your words are going to start to line up with how you think. Your actions are going to line up with how you think. Your characters and your habits are going to start to line up with how you think. And you wondering why you can't get ahead in life. You can't get ahead in life because your thinking is all jacked up. Was it just thoughts that's going to change it? No. See, you start to think something, and then you start to say something. It's kind of like, you know, you've been dreaming about this car, or you've been dreaming about this house that you want, or this vacation that you want to go on. And then all of a sudden, this thing becomes your focal point. And then all of a sudden, you start to see everything that you're thinking about, that vacation. Now you're starting to see how this thing is going to come together. Now you can go on this dream vacation. You see this car, and you haven't seen this, but you've been thinking about this particular car, and you haven't seen this car. And all of a sudden, now everywhere you look, you see the car. Everywhere you look, you see that house. You see that piece of land. You start to see these things. Why? Because what you focus on will expand. And if you're constantly focusing on your problem through your thought life, now what's going to manifest to you is the problem. And now this weight is going to weigh you down. And if you're a believer, now you start to even question your salvation. You start to question, does God really love me? Because if he loved me, why am I going through all of this? And the reason that you're going through what you're going through is because you're your own mouth, your own thought life. And if we want to change it, we got to change from the inside out. And we're trying to change what's around us, and what's around us is not the problem. What the problem is what's in us. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill the plan and purpose that God has for your life. He wants to derail you. He wants to distract you from the promises of God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And here you are, you're trying to figure everything out on your own. You're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to make this thing happen on your own. You're trying to create these streams of money on your own, and you haven't submitted to God. And you're a born-again believer. You're trusting in your strength more than you're trusting in his strength. And I promise you, he's got all the answers. So the devil wants to kill your plan, kill the plan and purpose that God has for your life. He wants to kill your dreams. He wants to kill your desires. Put such a weight of burden on you that you start to question whether God is real. Because he's not moving at the rate that you want him to move at. And the reality of it is, why it's not happening is because you're preventing it from happening by what you say. You're preventing it from happening by your thought life. He wants to destroy. What does he want to destroy? He wants to steal. He wants to kill. And he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy your legacy, your lineage, your children and your children's children. He wants to put these generational curses on you that don't just stop at you. They go on and on, generation to generation. And somebody in the family has to come along and supplant these generational curses. Somebody's got to stand up. Might as well be you and I. Might as well be you and I. And it starts with changing our thought life. You know, if David had a thought or had any doubt that he could defeat Goliath, he would have never done it. It would have never happened. But see, God will give you past experiences for your present day situation. Good God, I'm sorry. Because that's what he did. David was a little shepherd boy. And when the lion and the bear came after the sheep, because he was guarding his father's sheep, he was shepherding his father's sheep, David stood up to a lion and a bear, and he killed them both. Now he gets on the battlefield. He ain't even on the battlefield. He's going out there to check on his brothers. And they're all afraid of this giant Goliath. And Goliath is taunting them. And David said, I'll take him down. You know, if my God can deliver me from a lion, if my God can deliver me from the bear, certainly this uncircumcised Philistine can't stand up against my God, because it's not me. It's the God in me. So he wants to destroy your legacy, your lineage, which brings on, from generation to generation, which brings on these generational curses that will affect your children, your children's children. And see, we want the favor of God on us from generation to generation. And some of these traditions and these are passed down from generation to generation that put us into bondage. Well, you know, we've been poor. We always going to be poor. You know, my family is poor. My daddy's family was poor. My granddaddy's family was poor. My great-granddaddy's family were poor, so it's just our plot in life. We're going to be poor. That's not the will of God for our lives. The second part of that scripture says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, he could have just stopped it. They may have life. Why did he say he wanted to have it more abundantly? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So now if I have life and I have it more abundantly, now I can go and share this life with someone else. I can go share this Jesus with someone else. I can go witness to someone else about how good our God is. I can let someone know about the plights that I've been in, the messes that I've been in. He's delivered me out of them. Certainly, if he's done it for me, he can do it for you. Life hasn't always been good. And I've learned that most of it was self-inflicted. Most of the trials that I've gone through in my life were self-inflicted based upon how I thought. And not how the word and my thinking aligning with the word could free me. Some of us are in bondages right now today because of our thoughts. You know, I ain't gonna never ask nobody to help me. I ain't looking for no handout. And God has men and women set up, strategically set up, to help you get from one level of life to the next level of life. And you're stuck over here because you've set yourself to say, oh, ain't nobody ever going to help me. Stand for yourself, fend for yourself. I don't want no help. And you're struggling in life because your mindset, you got to get free in your mind. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, meaning there's freedom. And he's put his Spirit in each and every one of us. Amen. What is God after? God is after my heart. God is after my heart. The Bible says that we look at the outward appearance to determine a man or a woman. And God looks at the heart of a man to determine. You can look all dressed up on the outside. You look good. You're driving the best. Everything seems to be good. But there's a huge deficit in your soul. There's no happiness. There's no peace. I must depart from human reasoning and put on this kingdom mindset. Then I will be able to live. Then I will be and live, excuse me, like Psalms 1 and 3. Let's go to Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. Let's go there. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And I'm going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 3. And verse 3 is the one I want to get to. Let me say that again. God is after my heart. I must depart from human reasoning, my own way of thinking, and put on this kingdom mindset, the mind of Christ. Then I will be and live like Psalms 1 and 3. And verse 1 of Psalms 1 says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. In whose law? In God's law. He meditates day and night. Watch this. Verse 3, here it is. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a steady flow of life. Steady flow of life, this water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But you only get there when you put on this mind of Christ. You only get there when you're meditating on this, on the word of God day and night. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if I can rightly divide it, certainly I can wrongly divide it. And I talked about that right in the beginning. There's so many people that are teaching doctrines, stuff that does not align with the word of God. And people are being duped, being misled, being led astray, being run amok, being bamboozled, because they don't take the time to study for themselves, to know what God really said. That's what happened to Eve in the garden. She took the word of a snake. Thus we had the fall of man. And then God had to send his son to put us back in right standing, those who will accept him as Lord and Savior of their lives, those who will love and obey his word. Amen. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. That's the Amplified version. How do we resist? How do we resist Satan? How do we maintain this mindset? I'm glad you asked. We got a few more minutes. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Let's go there first, 1 Peter 5, and let's get your eyes on verse number 8. We're going to look at verse number 8 and 9, and here's what it says. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brotherhood in the world. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. I resist him by staying steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ. But he goes through the earth, roaring, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom he can steal, kill, and destroy. My pastor said this, all he can do is roar. And see, the roar puts you into fear. But if you have an understanding that Jesus kicked his teeth out, he can't bite. This lion can't bite unless you allow him to, through your fear, through your unbelief, through what you, through your thinking. That's how it infiltrates your mind, through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Amen. In the time that I have, let's turn to James chapter 4. Turn to James chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Verse 1 of James chapter 4 says this. What leads to the unending quarrels and conflicts among you? Do they come from your hedonistic desires that wage war in your bodily members, fighting for control over you? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your lust goes unfulfilled, so you murder. You are envious and cannot obtain the object of your envy, so you fight in battle. You do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with the wrong motives, out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. You adulterous, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow with God. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Lord have mercy. Or do you think, watch this, or do you think that the scripture says to no purpose that the human spirit which he has made to dwell in us lusts with envy? The God spirit that he's put in us, he didn't make that to dwell in us to lust and envy. Verse 6, but he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives gifts of grace to the humble who turn away from their self-righteousness. So submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him. And watch this. He will flee from you. You got to stand firm in the faith. You got to be built up in your mindset. You got to trust God. Your thoughts can destroy you or can save you. Our thoughts, how we think, can destroy us or they can save us. I like this scripture in Psalms 127 and verse number 1. And you don't have to go there. I'll read it for the sake of time. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. If the Lord, Jesus Christ, isn't building your thought life, you're laboring in vain. If you're not trusting God to protect everything you have and you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're laboring in vain. You don't have peace in your life today because of your thought life. You're laboring in vain. Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And I looked this word build up, the word build, and the definition says to develop according to a systematic plan, a definite process, or on a particular base. Our lives are to be built on a firm foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And when we set ourselves to renew our minds in him, the problem with a lot of believers is, you know, again, what they've been taught. And a lot of us, I can speak for me, growing up, it almost seemed like wealth or being prosperous was a dirty word. You couldn't be wealthy and love God. And that's so far from the truth. It's when what you have you trust in more than God that gets you and I in trouble. You know, your bank account is nice, and you're trusting in your bank account more than you're trusting in God. Now you're selfish, you're stingy, and God can't use you to build his kingdom. That's you. Now, when something happens and that starts, and that bank account starts to dwindle down, that's why you see these wealthy folks that everybody thinks they have everything. They got the world by the tail. They got everything that you could humanly possibly want. And why are they putting a gun to their head and blowing their brains out at the first hint of trouble? Because they're trusting in their riches more than they're trusting in God. And that's just not in the sinful world. That's in the lives of believers. There's pastors that have put a gun to their head and blown their brains out. And we got to get our thinking right. We got to trust God. We're living in a dying world. And every day we can see the signs. Every day. There's false teaching. There's false prophets. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's earthquakes in places where you never hear of earthquakes. There's storms all through the land. And we're still playing these games. We got to get our thought life right. We got to get our thoughts in line with God. And when our thoughts are in line with God, now God is obligated to do what his word says that it will do. Now he's obligated to protect you and I, because we put our trust in him and not in ourselves, not in our riches, not in anything in this three-dimensional world that's going to perish. But the word of God is going to stand forever. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not out of word, but I am out of time. And we'll pick this up again next month. And I pray that something that I've said this evening has triggered something in you, at least started the thought process of changing your thinking. And it can be done. It can be done. You know, I can attest to it. I can testify to it that it can. If I just tell you about my life and how God has brought me from here to where I am now. And it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. And then we can say, as he is, so am I in the world. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so am I in this world. As he is, as Christ is, so am I. I am an ambassador for Christ. And I will share the gospel unashamedly with anyone that will listen. Because I know what he's done in my life. Because I had some of the worst thinking in the world. And if he can change me, certainly he can change you. Amen. If you're on this call and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, there's no time like the present. The Bible says that if you're ashamed to confess him before men, he will be ashamed to confess you before his Father. Well, you say, preacher, how do I accept him? You accept him by faith. Romans 10:9 says this, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing his power, his authority, his majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, the core of your understanding, your belief, a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is being made righteous, being free from the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. And all you got to do is, Jesus, I've sinned. God, Lord God, I have sinned. And I ask you to come into my life, to take up dwelling in me. And if you ask that, brothers and sisters, we believe that you're saved. Now, get in a good Bible teaching church that's teaching the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. And then open up your Bible and start to study and read. And when you get to a place where you're not understanding quite, look at a different translation. Go into different translations. Get the Bible app and start to study and meditate on this. Reverend Ray.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Pastor Cleophas. What an awesome word. Amen. We appreciate the word, a divinely aligned thought life. That word makes you, should make all of us reexamine ourselves. So what kind of thought life we have. So, Brother, Pastor, I want to thank you again for the timely word for today. Amen. For those other listeners, you should be able to listen to this on a different platforms like iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, just to name, and Spotify, just to name a few. So until next month, we'll see you then. And thanks again for listening. Thank you, Brother Pastor. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, sir. God bless you all.
Amen.